welcome back to another Daily Walk. Today I want to spend some time talking about helping those in need, particularly homeless and people you see on the side of the road with, you know, help me, ran out of gas, you know, disabled vet, blah, 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 whatever. A friend of mine has actually been looking at how to best serve people in this circumstance for a while. And so I thought I'd look at some of the scripture references, read what some of the pastors online were saying, and kind of look and dig through what the Bible has to say and give you some thoughts. First and foremost, we want to say about this is I don't think there's any single clear-cut answer. Everything is going to boil down to your conscience. And when it boils down to it, we do have to be discerning so we're not casting our pearls before swine, but we also have to remember that we do need to give with a cheerful giving and consider these different principles. But I did want to spend some time talking about this because what do you do when you encounter somebody who asks you for money on the street or, you know, just they holding up a sign or things like that? Of course, some people point to this verse in Luke chapter 6, verse 30. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. So some people will look at that verse and say, see, anybody that comes up and asks you for money, just give it to them. Well, that's kind of foolish, and that's not what Jesus is talking. See, our one-verse culture likes to take single verses and develop entire principles or applications on them. It's just what we're trained to do these days, and we need to push back against that. This whole section that Jesus is talking about here, and there's a parallel section to that in Matthew 5 as well. And the overarching principle here is to live generously, live with godly life and in such a way. But just because somebody comes up and says, hey man, give me $5, doesn't mean you, well, here's $5. I am obligated by the scriptures to give you $5. So I want to talk a little bit about helping those in need that we might encounter in light of that. So the first thing we need to always do is assess the actual need. Now, there's three or four different people involved in asking for help that you will encounter. I kind of looped the first two together just because they're closely related. The first group is the scammers. You know, these are the people that they have houses, they are doing just fine, they're not lonely, starving, broken down, out of food, disabled veteran, you know, all in one. They're not all those things. They are just figuring out that it's easier to just sit on the side of a corner asking for money than get up and get a job. And so oftentimes these people, they are making a lot of money. They're not reporting anything on taxes. They're cheating the government by doing that. They're living off of the cash of strangers who think they are helping somebody in need. They are absolute scammers. They have the ability to work and they choose not to, to instead live on the handouts of others. And there is things we can say about that. Now, closely related to these are people who are trafficked. And I have seen places. Now, first, a friend of mine actually went down and he's down in Virginia. And he said that there was actually a person busted for running one of the human trafficking rings, that what that person did is controlled all those people sitting at the street corner. So more often than not, 9 out of 10 times, maybe 99 out of 100 times, you see somebody standing on a street corner with a woe is me sign. Please give me money. I'm just a hungry old vet. Most of those people are being human trafficked. They are collecting this money. They're getting a dollar or two out of it, and they're giving everything else to the pimp who is literally trafficking them out. All you are doing in that case is supporting a criminal enterprise. So God wouldn't be pleased with doing something like that. Now, there is a third group here, and this is the one you really have to be cautious of. These are the people that they do legitimately need help and that they live on the streets, that they are out there, and ultimately what's going on with them is they are might be living in their car, they're homeless, they don't have food, they don't have work. And so these are the people that people look at and go, wow, yeah, this person really needs help. The challenge is a lot of these people, it's not that they don't want help as much as it is that they refuse to do what they need to do to turn things around. In other words, they want help on their terms, not on society's terms. We see this a lot. billions of dollars was thrown into Los Angeles to work on the homeless crisis in Los Angeles. And what they found is that even though every single person in the city of Los Angeles could have a free place to stay overnight, they didn't want to live by the rules of, hey, no drugs and, you know, a lot of other risky lifestyle things. They didn't like that. They're like, oh, I don't want to live by those. So they choose to live on the streets instead. If you come by and hand that person money, you are also empowering a horrible circumstance in which you are empowering them in their drug use. Now, there is that story from C.S. Lewis is walking down the street with a friend and he sees a guy, down and out guy. He reaches into his pocket and gives him a bunch of money. He says, Clive, why'd you do that? This guy's just going to spend it on ale. And he says, that's all I was going to do with it, you know? And so the principle here is, of course, is that obviously if we hand out money to people, then they might use that money for illegal things. They might use it to further their addiction. Now, other people say, yeah, but you might save their life if they're truly addicted and withdrawals could kill you, which is true, then maybe you're keeping them alive one more day by letting them get that fix. Well, I was reading some forums and commentaries, and I saw a comment from a person who was a director of a homeless shelter and says, when you give money to people to do this, it makes our job much worse. You should give the money to the shelter instead. Now, of course, that sounds a little bit like, you know, the priest saying, don't give your money to the poor guy, give it to me instead. I mean, well, maybe we need to take that with a grain of salt. But the challenge is that most of those people that are out there because they refuse the help that actually can get them the real help they need. There are, in fact, across this country, as I travel around, several cities that have ordinances against giving handouts to panhandlers. You will see the signs posted at several different places because the police know when you do that, you are increasing crime, you're increasing the addictions, you're increasing the problems that come with this. Instead, they would prefer that you give money and, hey, even preferably time to the shelters that help these people who can give them the appropriate help they need, not just hook them up with one more fix. Because if you hook them up for one more fix and they get used to that lifestyle, but they don't have enough for a fix, well, they still have to have that fix. They're not going to die on the street of withdrawal. They're going to commit crime to get the money they need for that fix. And we have to keep that in mind. Now, the fourth type of person here is those in legit need. They're driving down the road. Their tire has popped. They're already living to paycheck to paycheck. They really can't afford a new tire. You look at it and you go, well, that's a bummer. You see that type of person and you know that they're working, you know, they're trying their best, but they're just living paycheck to paycheck. That is the person when you give them that handout to buy them a new tire, get them back on their way, pay a widow's electric bill, do things like this. These are the things that will most bless God. Now, God will certainly bless you if you give a little bit, but understand this. When you give money to people who are being human trafficked, who are scammers, and who are refusing to do what they need to do to get off the street, you are empowering them in their irresponsibility, and that is completely contrary to everything inside of Scripture. So it's not as clear-cut as somebody's asking for money, I better just give him money. So you have to assess the need first. So some people are simply here to abuse the system. We're seeing this right now with all the EBT card stuff. As in January and July 2026, some of the changes across several states are going to affect with EBT cards. You can no longer use it for candies and sodas and things that really are junk food, don't provide nutritional value. And people are losing their mind over it online. They're taking away, my daughter deserves a brownie. Well, go get a job. Or here's a thought. Why don't you buy the components like flour and sugar and butter and things you can get on EBT? And why don't you learn to make brownies? You're clearly doing nothing more than complaining on TikTok anyway. And so the point is that people abuse the system. And when we empower people and enable people to continue abusing the system, they are never going to get the help they need. Our society will continue to be a drain. And so these are certainly arguments to make. Some pastors say you should always give money. One pastor says you should never give money. Here's the best overall advice. Use gift cards. Carry with you gift cards to either grocery stores or restaurants. When somebody asks for money because they're hungry, give them a gift card or offer to take them to the store to buy them food. What one pastor said that he started doing that every time somebody asked for money, he's like, I'm hungry. He says, hey, hop in the car. We'll go get some food. Or, hey, I'll walk down the street with you. We're going to go down to this restaurant and grab some food and we'll talk a little bit. He said 80% of people are not willing to go. Why? Well, they are stuck on that street corner because the pimp is watching. They are a scammer abusing the system. And they know if you take them out for an hour to go serve them a meal to eat, they're going to lose out on all the money they would have made for the hour, you know, or they're people that are just using the system. Now, the codependent people that are just using the system, they are more inclined, if they're actually hungry, to go with you. But he said 80% got cut out by simply saying, I don't have any money, but I'll take you out and use my card and buy you food. Most people didn't want to do that. Kind of shocking, isn't it? So is it a Christian duty to help? Well, this is where we get into some of the different points, because there are certainly some scriptures which suggest, obviously the one of the better ones is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. The king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say to them, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? Said, when we did this, the king answered and said to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it unto me. So obviously there is certainly an element of helping those in need. The question here boils back down once again is, who are those actually in need? Are you empowering an abusive scamming system? Are you giving somebody one more reason to not hit rock bottom to get the actual true help they need? Or are you actually helping them in the things that they need helped in? And that's why you need to take some time. Before you give money to anybody, you need to take a lot more time. Give them the gospel first. See how they respond to that. Now, of course, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition to which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in our undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working day and night, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to ourselves, offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting as busybodies. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and to eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Well, the first principle here is he is speaking to believers. He's speaking to a person of the church who refuses to support the mission of the church. They just want a handout. Yeah, they don't eat. Sorry. Get involved. Do something. That's quite critically important. The second principle here is, again, he is speaking about people who are trying their best. Now, we are hitting a point right now where many people are speculating mass job losses are going to occur already. College degrees that 5 years ago we thought were the future, nobody can find jobs in. I'm thinking about tech because of the AI revolution has taken over. Some people are speculating the fact the father of AI came out in an article last week and said 99% of jobs will be taken by AI by 2030. That's only about 5 years away now. And so looking at that, there will be a time when a lot of people are simply looking for a handout. They would like to work. They just can't find work. There is certainly that principle. So that's where you need to parse out who's actually doing the things they need to be doing and who's just abusing the system or scamming the system or refusing to actually hit that rock bottom they need to actually transform their life. And that is an important principle. So once we get into there, let's talk about the second section of helping. This is a long video. Okay, so only rarely is money the best option. Why? Because most people, they're just scammers. They don't actually need the money. Many of them are looking to spend it on drugs. And I hear the argument that says, well, let God sort out what they're doing with it. I hear that. Unfortunately, I just generally don't agree with your principles, if that's your take. And the reason is that you could be empowering them in bad ways, and that is much like casting your pearls before swine. We need to be very careful with our giving because we have a finite amount of giving. Is it not better to give our funds and resources to actual legitimate places that actually help? So if you're going to give money to the homeless, give it to the shelter who knows how to deal with the homeless better. And then maybe if you... this is kind of my last point here, but get involved in the shelter in your physical time. That's what I told my friend to do. Go and work directly with the shelter because they will teach you how to spot those who are abusing the system and how to spot those who actually need help. So the local shelter or a church program is the best for chronic needs. They can parse out those seeking actual help versus those simply seeking to abuse the system. Let's close in this verse here. This is 1 John 3:17. Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Some people will point out to that verse. And about that, I want to say, one, he is speaking to people in the church who are already involved. We already know who these people are. We know they fall on hard times. The church already has an established relationship with them. We know they fell on hard times, not seeking to abuse the system. Okay, that's not a verse for everybody in the world to give carte blanche to everything out there. That's not something that is commanded of us. But we do have to seek to save those. We can look at the parable of who is my neighbor, right? Looking at the good Samaritan. And that person there obviously was no part of his community or fellowship or anything. He chose to help that person. But again, notice that's not a scammer. That's not a person abusing the system. That's not a person who's refusing to actually do the help as long as people are willing to give them money. This is a person in a serious, legit, obvious need. And anytime you see a person in a serious, legit, obvious need, you need to intervene with all resources available at your disposal. That's what you need to do. But we do have to take the wisdom to parse out all of the other stuff around it. There are our thoughts for today. Let me know your thoughts about all this in the comments down below. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.